Excuse me? Yes, you do, young man. Now get in the car. I won't ask you again.
No. You dug this hole. You fill it in. I'm not going with you. She's lost. She can't win this. She can't win anything anymore. She looks vile and unlovely, ghostly white against the mottled grey of the paperbox. I hate her. I hate her like poison right now, but I also feel sorry for her. She looks like a child, scared and lost and unhappy, even more so when her mouth turns down at the edges and her face folds and she begins to cry. As suddenly as she'd risen, she's fallen.
You don't understand, she sobs. Your father doesn't love me. He never has. You don't know anything. You don't know a thing at all.
She's right about that. I don't understand a thing about this world, about people, and why they do the things they do. The more I find out, the more I uncover. The more I know, the less I understand. My mother shakes her head and sniffs. Her hands go limp at her sides. The man in the car doesn't move. He just sits there. All of this is so messy and awful. I have to leave. Go home, I tell her. And I feel powerful saying it. I sound like Jasper Jones. I get a shot of electricity down my spine. Just go home. I turn and take Eliza's hand. I weave our fingers tight and I squeeze hard. I've been betrayed by both my parents in a single night. And I look her up and down, and then leave my mother standing there, her shoulders slumped and shaking. She calls me back, but there's no venom. There's nothing in it anymore. We leave her behind. I stay quiet as we walk. Distantly, we hear the car cough to a start behind us, fleeing the scene. My mother and her lover. I wonder if she's going back home to confess to my dad. Probably not. I must be pressing Eliza's hand especially hard, because she wriggles it a little. You okay, Charlie? I sigh and scratch my scalp with my free hand. I don't know, to tell you the truth. I think so. Maybe. I think it's all too crazy for me to feel anything either way. She nods.
I think I know how you mean.
That was really strange. Your mother. It's just, I never thought she'd be the... I'm sorry, Charlie, Eliza says quietly. And it soothes me. It's as though she can make everything golden with an apology, even though she's a world away from fault. I kick at the gravel. We reach Lionel's property. It looks so different. It's such a desolate plot of land to look at now, whereas it used to throb with threat and portent. I wonder if he is watching us go by. Jasper and I had left his house as abruptly as we'd entered it. After Jasper milked Lionel of all he had seen that night, he pushed off the wall he'd been leaning on. He'd had enough. He slid his bottom jaw from side to side, took one last look at the top of the piano, then strode out of the house. I followed. Neither of us said goodbye. Neither of us looked back. I even felt bad for Jack Lionel, leaving him alone like that in his sad little museum. I know now we're headed for the clearing, but that's where my certainty ends. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what she has to say, what light she has to shine on this dark mess. The bush doesn't slow her down. We follow the same narrow kangaroo tracks. I take note of the same landmarks. My legs are scratched by shrubs and low scrub. I hope that Eliza knows the way better than I do. I file behind her, our hands still loosely linked. I can still smell her from here. I can breathe her in, and it takes me over. I could follow that scent forever. Still, the creaks and whirs and clicks around me make my skin tighten. I don't want to be out here. It feels as though I'm inhabited by a teeming metropolis of insects trailing up and down my limbs and my neck, burrowing under my skin, and they won't be shutted off or shucked away. Eliza Wishart is taking me to the place her sister was killed. My brick is at its lowest. I'm not sure how much more I can absorb tonight. Here. Here it is. The broad spine of that enormous Jarrah, standing monumental and alone. I'm being pulled into its orbit. We pause here. Eliza's back is to the wattle bush that opens into Jasper's glade. My head is bowed a little, and I watch her carefully. She opens her thin arms and brushes the musky foliage. I am dead on my feet, heavier than ever.
You've been here before,
she says plainly. It's not an accusation, it's a simple statement. I nod, but I can't look her in the eye. Then Eliza Wishart pushes through the bush and disappears like a ghost. I follow slowly. It's always strange to walk into this space. The air is different. Everything is utterly still and timeless. But it's strangest tonight, being here with Eliza. Being here without Jasper. It feels like I'm trespassing. It's so hot and quiet and eerie. It's emptier without him in it. I get the sensation we're being watched. I follow Eliza across the thick lawn to the water. We sit beneath the tree. I'm shaking a little. Directly above me is the space where Laura died. The hole in the world that she fell through. I wonder if Eliza knows that. We sit in silence for a long time. I'm not sure where to look. The water, Eliza, the glade. There are lies everywhere. Eventually, Eliza pulls her legs to her chest and rests her chin on her knees. She looks at me.
We need to tell each other things, she says.
I nod.
Do you want to go first?
She asks me. No, not really, if that's okay with you. Eliza seems to nod without moving. Then she removes something from the pocket of her skirt. It's a folded piece of paper. She turns it over in her fingers. What's that? I ask quietly.
A letter.
To who?
Jasper Jones.
I frown. Is it from you?
No.
The silence settles again. Eliza slowly unfolds the paper, then folds it again.
It's from Laura, she says.
Did she ask you to give it to him? Eliza shakes her head and looks away. Did you find it? She shrugs, still looking over the dam. We fall silent again. Then I ask tentatively, what does it say? She doesn't answer, doesn't even appear to hear. Instead, her face seems to glaze over. She tilts her head, and she turns and speaks with that strange accent again.
You know those days when you get the mean reds?
The what? Eliza looks at me with mild chagrin, like I'm getting something wrong.
Like the blues,
she says softly. Oh, I say, so you mean, do I get the blues? She lifts a little.
No, the blues are because you're getting fat or it's been raining too much. You're just sad is all. The mean reds are horrible. Suddenly you're afraid and you don't know what you're afraid of. Do you ever get that feeling?
Actually, that sounds exactly like what I've had for the last few weeks. The mean reds.
Really?
She asks. Really? What about you? Eliza stares across the dam again. We sit and we listen to the insects. Then she turns and looks me straight in the eye. She looks older in the starlight, her face drawn and furrowed. She stares at me for an uncomfortably long time. I wonder if I should say something. But then she breaks the silence.
I did it, Charlie.
You did what? I have to hold my arms to stop my hands quivering.
I killed her. It's all my fault. I killed Laura.
This is what Eliza tells me. This is what happened. And I've got to get it out quick. I've got to loosen the valve on it and let it go, fizzing and spraying because it's too hard, it's too heavy, it's too much. I can't hold onto it for too long because it'll burn. Do you understand? It's the knowing. It's always the knowing that's the worst. I wish I didn't have to. I want the stillness back. But I can't. I can't ever get it back. So, this is what happened. See, Eliza, she knew all about Jasper Jones. She knew he was with her sister. She knew they were in love. And she knew they went someplace together at night. From her own window, right next to Laura's, Eliza could observe Jasper approaching. When he first started coming round, he was cautious. He'd hide in the shadows and wait and move slowly. Toward the end, he'd got more brazen. He just sidled right up, tapped on the window,
and Eliza could see Laura striding back out with him across their lawn after climbing through a window. It had been happening all year. Even on the coldest of Corrigan nights, they'd skip across the frosted grass and leave Eliza behind to wonder and speculate. As the weather warmed, it happened more and more frequently. Recently, it got to be almost every night. Eliza always wondered where they went to. She imagined they were going to the river, maybe under the old traffic bridge. She was curious and envious. She longed to follow them, but she knew she shouldn't. It was all so perfectly romantic to her, like it was from a book or something, a fairy tale. They always stole away in the dead of night, and Laura always returned just before dawn. The Shire President's daughter and the town outcast, the dangerous boy all the girls secretly wanted to be with. Sometimes Laura and Jasper embraced tightly before they parted, and he'd wink at her and leave. They seemed to fit so tight and right. But then, near the end of November, as the summer heat crept in, Jasper stopped coming. Eliza wondered if they weren't going steady anymore. It seemed sad that they weren't, though a part of her felt guiltily satisfied that Laura no longer possessed something that she couldn't have. Listen, this is what happened. Like a geyser, like a burst dam, I can't hold it. Because Eliza didn't know, never knew that her father, the Shire President, she never knew that he visited Laura's room as well. But he didn't tap politely. He crept in, drunk. Always drunk. Always discreet. There were no locks. It was all in the letter, see? Long before Jasper Jones came to her window. Since she was a girl. Eliza's age. This is what happened. Like a cork from a bottle. A train with no brakes. On that night, when I'd been reading, something was happening. Building and garnering and gathering. Something was up. It had been strange in the Wishart house for days. It had been tense and sullen. A sickness had sunk. Trouble was brewing. Eliza tried to stay out of the way, as she always did when the mood was foul. Her mother seemed the same as ever, serenely unaware. Her father was louder and angrier. His threshold was thinner. He reeked of spirits and tobacco all the time now. And Laura, who had retreated from them so much this year, who never ate anymore, who never talked or laughed with her little sister like she used to, she was more sallow and sapped and silent than ever. It was as though she wasn't even there, a ghost in a haunted house. She only left her bedroom when her chores needed doing. Eliza thought she must have been upset about Jasper Jones, but she couldn't ask about it like she wanted. This is what happened. On that night, there'd been a big argument. There had been words in the kitchen which Eliza wasn't allowed to hear. She'd been sent to her room. She didn't want to listen anyway. She read on her bed with the cat on her lap. She listened to Ella Fitzgerald and hummed softly. She tried to carve out a little space for herself, a little vacuum away from the world. And there she stayed. But it wasn't thick enough. It was too brittle. Because later that evening, there was a scuffle in Laura's room, right next to her. And that's when Eliza became afraid. Head to the wall, she heard voices, but she couldn't make out words. She knew it was Laura and her father in there. The argument had flared again. She could sense movement. She could hear odd squeaks and shifts. Sounds that Eliza translated in her mind as two people grappling. But then Laura began shouting, screaming, which was soon muffled into sounds that made Eliza feel ill. This had never happened. She heard a crack and a yelp. She felt something through the floorboards. Something smashed against their shared wall and rattled onto the ground. And then the door slammed. Hard, loud as a gunshot. Eliza started. The house shook, do you understand? Flakes of plaster fell from the molding around the light fitting on the ceiling and were cast broadly by the sweeping blades of her fan. Like confetti. Like snow. Footsteps marching. Then the silence was swift, sweeping in like backwash. She wondered if she was allowed out of her room. She figured she didn't want to go anyway. She was afraid. And where was her mother? Where was she in all this? She heard their car roar to a start, and she opened her curtain to see her father weaving dangerously out of the drive and down the street. Then she could hear Laura crying through the wall that separated them. But still, she didn't leave her little bubble. She stayed, safe, and she didn't stir, though she was restless and confused. She thought Laura would wave her away angrily. And the house was quiet for some time. After the neighborhood lights went out, when folks had retired for the night, Eliza heard the familiar scrape of Laura's window. Up, up, stop. She spilled off her bed and pressed her face to the glass. Laura was leaving, heaving, but she couldn't see Jasper anywhere. Laura was in her nightdress. She was in a hurry. She was alone. But she was barefoot, so she couldn't have been going far. Maybe just to the end of the street. Still, something was wrong. Maybe she was sleepwalking, beckoned by something behind her eyes. Eliza worried. And it was worry that propelled her out into the hot night, that had her trailing her sister at a safe distance. It was illicit and exciting. She'd never been out this late on her own. Her body was buzzing, her heart was stammering. Things smelled different, felt different. Trees took a ragged shape. Things felt sinister, threatening. Laura was meeting Jasper somewhere. That's what she figured. But what had just happened in her room? What was the ruckus? Why had she been screaming? What was the argument about? Had her father struck Laura? Is that what she'd heard through the wall? Why had he left so quickly, so angrily? Things had been so horrible recently. She tried to ignore it all, but it just welled up and took her over. It loomed until it toppled. Now she had to know. If this excursion revealed nothing, she would interrogate her sister tomorrow. She was going to finally find out. This is what happened. Eliza skipped lightly to keep up, still with the thrill of being out at night for the first time. Laura was moving fast, bent forward, arms folded, and they walked for what seemed like an eternity. Laura didn't look back once, all the way through town. Past the station, past the thick end of the Corrigan River, by the bridge and the picnic grounds. Right out past the old pastoral properties that kick-started Corrigan way back when. Past Mad Jack Lionel's run-down cottage, which still had its lights on. Eliza shuddered when she realized where she was. She thought seriously about turning back, but she was committed now. More so when they reached the fringe of the bush, and when they pressed into the thick of it. She was terrified of losing Laura. She had strayed out of view a number of times, and Eliza had to pause and listen carefully and follow the path with her head bowed. She became annoyed and confused. She was being scratched and rasped by branches and prickles. She regretted her impulse now. Where was she going? Was this where Laura had been going all year? Where was Jasper Jones? Was he at the end of this journey? She didn't know anything. She felt small and out of her depth, like a child. When Laura paused at the foot of that enormous jarrah and smoothly vanished, Eliza felt a sudden chill. She desperately wanted to go back, but Eliza crept around under the wattle bush and hid in the scrub beneath a bottle brush. She peeled back the foliage to reveal that strange little clearing, and she crouched and watched Laura very carefully, stunned by this place. This must be where they had been coming all this time. It seemed so perfect. It was so beautiful and serene. It felt ethereal. A timeless little bubble in the world. A secret garden. Her sister walked toward the smooth gray eucalypt that presided over the small dam on the far side, and she peered into what appeared to be a broad, hollow space at its base. When she emerged, she surveyed the glade, squinting intently. Eliza shrunk into the shadows and held her breath. But Laura turned and slumped and sat by the water with her head on her knees. Eliza longed to go to her, but she knew she'd be in for it if she did. It looked as though Laura was waiting for someone anyway. For Jasper, she assumed. So she'd probably just disappoint her if she crept out from the trees and revealed herself. This is what happened. Laura got to her feet and started pacing under the tree. She looked distressed. She tugged at her hair. She examined the hollow another couple of times. She came out with something in her hands. Then she sat, and she cried. She hugged her belly, and she rocked herself by the water. It was hard for Eliza to watch. She wanted to run out there and put her arm around her. And she wept herself, very quietly, watching all this unfold. She had to bite her fist. She had to look away. She desperately wanted to know what was wrong. But she was trapped by her own indiscretion. It was so hard being outside of this, watching it like a grainy film. This is what happened. Laura bowed and concentrated over something in her lap. It looked as though she might be writing. Then she stood with her arms folded and her head bowed. Eliza could see her shoulders shaking. And then she watched her move toward the eucalypt. And with a strength and ease that surprised Eliza, her sister made her way up the